Some of you still looking a little strange. But I want you to know I'm here by the grace of God tonight. I know Mississippi know I'm a miracle tonight. But I can see through it all. You, but like I said, been through the storm, been through the rain, but I won't give up. I won't give in.
Oh Lord, my master, I'd like to tell you about a song that I learned to sing one day when I was nothing but a small boy. My Lord, listen. Before I left my home, my mother would tell me, she said, son, you're going out into the world to make a life for yourself. She said, sometime you're gonna be built and scorned and call everything but a child of God. But I want to sing this song today, children. If you never see me no more, if you never hear my voice again, now listen to this. Oh, don't forget your family.
Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
What's good for the graduate is good for everybody else. So what I'm going to call this is wise counsel for successful living. I'll give you some wise counsel to be successful, to live the life the way God wants you to live it. Amen? And I have five basic points. And I'm going to go down through them. We're going to elaborate on each one of them a little bit. So just the fact that you're here today, you are a candidate to have your life transformed by God. Today is your day. Amen. Today is your day. Hallelujah. We praise God for it. We thank God for it. Amen. Amen. So, first thing, first key to successful living is always keep God first in your life. Always keep God first. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So you want to always keep God first. Amen. That means that you have to maintain the fear of God in your life. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. What is the fear of the Lord? It is a holy reverence and a respect for him. It is having a consciousness of his presence in your life. So you don't want to ever get to a place where you don't respect God, where you know something is wrong and you say, "Well, I'm just going to do it anyway." That's a lack of respect. That would be a lack of respect for a parent to tell a child, "Don't touch that right there." And the child, if he don't have respect for his parent, he'll look at their parent, "Why are he touching it?" And damn to do something about it. All right, that's disrespect. That is not the fear of your parent. If you can do something your parent told you not to do, and you can do it with them looking at you and not be scared, then you know you got a problem. So when you know what the will of God is, and you are being tempted to do something that's not the will of God, and you can know the eyes of God on you, and you do it anyway, you don't have the fear of God working in you. In fact, it's a dangerous thing to hang out with people that don't have the fear of God working in them. You know why? Because people without the fear of God will do anything. When you don't have the fear of God working in you, your conscience ain't working right. You'll do anything. You know, one of the reasons why Moses lied when the king asked him, "Who that beautiful woman that with you?" He said, "That's my sister." Who did I say? Moses? All right, Abraham. Thank you, Reeve. Reeve the Bible scholar over there. Abraham, he lied about Sarah. And then things, bad things started happening in the king's house. And he knew something was wrong. And then he found out that was Abraham's wife. And then the king said, "Why did you lie to us and bring all this evil upon us?" And Abraham said, "Because I perceived that the fear of God was not in this place." He said, "Man, y'all to kill me. Y'all ain't got no fear of God. Y'all do anything. I was scared for my life." People that don't have the fear of God in them will do anything. You don't need to associate with people that don't have the fear of God working in them. Because they'll stab you in the back, steal from you, lie on you, cheat you, beat you. Randy said, "Whoop you and destroy you." Knowledge of Randy. Randy preaching today, y'all. He's... But he telling the truth. They'll knowledge. They want, and then they'll do it and don't even think nothing about it. And then they'll say, "Well, it's a dog eat dog world. You got to look out for number one." You better watch people like that. They're just looking out for them. They don't have the fear of God working in them. When we're talking about seeking God first, keeping him first, if you're going to keep God first, you have to allow God to develop that fear in you. In other words, you have to make decisions that honor God and say, "Now, if God say don't do this, I ain't going to do it because God say don't do it." When people come to you and say, "Hey, let's go do this," you say, "Well, God say don't do that." That's the fear of God working in you. When you say, "No, that's I'll disobey God to do that. I'm not going to do it." That's the fear of God working in you. And it's when you are conscious of the fact that God is in you and he's working with you and that God is watching you, that God's eyes upon you, when you train yourself and say, "You know what, whatever I do, I've got to do it in the presence of God." I can't do this with God watching me. I mean, when I first got saved, the devil come and tempt me with stuff, and I think about going and do it, and then I say, wait a minute, God will be watching me. That's the fear of God. I say, oh, no, I can't do that. God will be watching me. No, I can't hide that from God. He's going to be looking right at me doing that. I can't do that with his eyes on me. That's the fear of God. So if you're going to keep God first in your life, you need a healthy dose, a big dose of the fear of God working in your life. You also have to seek God concerning the decisions that you make. And we're talking to graduates, some of y'all going off to college. You have to seek God about those decisions. Don't just make decisions on how you feel. Your feelings can deceive you. Don't say, well, I feel like doing this. That's what I'm going to do. Don't be moved by how you feel. Well, I'm going here because of money. Don't be moved by money. Now, sometimes God can open a door that brings a lot of money in your life. All that ain't the devil. Some of it's God opening doors of increase for you. But you need to pray about them and make sure. I had a lot of opportunities to leave the paper mill because people would call looking for an experienced engineer. And they'll say, we'll offer you, we can get you this much money for you to leave, get you a promotion. And I'd pray and I say, Lord, what about that? He said, I called you to Alexandria. I said, I'm sorry. I can't go for no amount of money. I couldn't leave for $1 million. See, following God don't have nothing to do with the amount of money being offered to you. It has everything to do with about staying in his will. And I'd rather be in the will of God, getting a monthly paycheck, than have $1 million out of his will. See, we had to say things like this here because people get caught up in that worldly system out there, and they make decisions based on feelings. You know, they flip coins. You know, they throw the dice. If I get a 7, I'm gone. Lord, if it's your will, let this happen. You can't be led like that. They did that in the old covenant, but you don't find that in the new covenant. In the new covenant, you are led by the Spirit of God. Holy Ghost is supposed to lead you under that new covenant because you have God on the inside. The old covenant, they didn't have God on the inside. That's why God had to move outside of them to keep God first. That means you got to keep the Word of God first place in your life. That means you got to read your Bible and meditate on it and pray. You got to read, pray, and meditate. If you're going to keep God number one, you have to have him on your mind every day. See, I wake up with the Lord on my mind, go to bed with him on my mind. I think about God all during the day. How many of y'all like that? You have like a constant presence of God in your life. Now, that don't mean your mind on him every minute of every day. I mean, in your decision, what you're getting ready to do, he's just there. He's like a constant companion. Hallelujah. Lord, what you want me to do today? Lord, be with me today. See, he's on my mind. Amen. All during the day when I'm making decisions, the Lord is on my mind. I'm talking to him. I'm conversing with him. Even when I go to bed at night, he's on my mind. I think about him when I wake up in the morning. I think about him when I go to bed at night. You got to meditate in the Word. See, God can't be first place in your life if you don't meditate on the Word. If you're not reading the Bible, if you're not praying, praying is nothing but communicating with God. You have to talk to the Lord. You have to develop a relationship with him. How do you develop a relationship with somebody? You talk to them. What else? You spend time with them. Now, if you want to develop a close relationship with me, we couldn't do it if we didn't talk. And if we didn't spend time together, we couldn't have a relationship together. Relationships, close relationships, are built by time in each other's presence, by communicating and sharing with each other. Husbands and wives have to develop and have to keep developing a relationship, keep working on their relationship with each other, because at any point in time, you could stop communicating. Couldn't you? Yeah, you could. You could stop spending time together, be in the same house and not even talking to each other. Right? So we don't want to do that. You can't be that way with God. You got to keep God first in your life. You got to talk to him. You got to communicate with him. You got to ask him. You got to inquire of the Lord. Amen? And then you have to listen to wise counsel from your parents, from your pastor, and from anyone else that God will put in your life. Proverbs 1:5-9 talks about that. It says that a wise man will hear and increase learning. Wise people just have an ear to hear wise counsel.